The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're going to talk about forgiveness, the devil, and the truth. Oh, man. Also, a little bit of prayer for good retention on our part for things that are good and bad retention for things that are bad. A little discussion about last night, me struggling with prayer at about 4:30 in the morning. That was fun. And then, I can't believe it, but reader's glasses, it's like my entire life.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Now, again, surviving, kind of important because sometimes you just got to get through. Living, kind of important because without living, you're not living. And then prevailing. There are times in our walk when we understand that we are more than conquerors and we need to have all of those components working in our lives. We'll discuss, we're not going to really discuss politics much, just a little bit. Talk about entertainment, current events, personal revelations for sure, spiritual observations for sure, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. And we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to give us a call. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Now, why is that important? Because I just got my first Texas phone number yesterday. And so now I'm just that much more proud to be a Texan. Although I got a long way to go. Got to get a little bit of the Israel out of me. Got to get a little bit of the Michigan out of me. Got to get a little bit of the Arizona out of me. Got to get all of the California out of me. Oy, ay, ay, ay. But you can call the show. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation. We really do appreciate any praise reports. Get them through the email, and that's cool. I'd like to have them on the air. Just keep in mind that this is not professional radio. It's just radio. That's all it is, just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, so we got two sponsors, right? Talked to one of them today. And as you will, if you will remember yesterday, as I'm discussing the sponsors, I did a really excellent job in pronunciation. I just nailed Pamela's last name. Okay, I nailed it to the wall and left it dripping like bad paint. It was bad. So I started off, and now Pamela, she's a real estate agent. And now why is that important? Well, first and foremost, you know, I understand and can appreciate anybody who's like, well, I'll just use my cousin Vinny. Vinny's a real estate guy. See, but Vinny got his real estate license, so every once in a while, his cousin can do a house for him so he can score an extra couple grand. So that's not the kind of real estate person you want. You want somebody that is devoted to the craft, devoted and committed to getting it done. And that's Pamela. And you know how you say her last name? It's Melchiano or Melchiana or Melchiana. And I thought it was Hawaiian. I was wrong. I talked to her this morning, and she's like, no. She said some people say it's Melchiano, Melchiana, Melchiana. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, it's Italian. I'm like, what? What do you mean that that's Italian? I don't understand that. What do you mean that's Italian? She said it's Italian. Melchiano. Like, Oh, if I'd have been, with another group, and if I'd have been eating pizza and bread and lasagna, I would have got that. No, it's Pamela Melchiana. I would have been able to say that 100 times. But I thought it was Hawaiian. So I did that wrong. Let's give you a couple of contact points for Pamela, because she is going to be on the show. And she's already like, I'm nervous about being on the show. It's like, don't be nervous. Nobody's going to see you. They're just going to hear you. Her number, 817-505-5541. And just so that you can know, I expect you to remember that and give me that number back in the original Turkish language. Oh, no, okay. 817-505-5541. Or, and probably twice as easy, you can go to Blessed-Realty. Okay, now watch. Blessed-Realty.com. Blessed-Realty.com. And here's something that you should be aware of. You can reach out and talk to Pamela. It doesn't cost anything. If you talk to her on the phone, if you talk to her and she comes by your house and you guys have a consultation, it's not costing a penny. She wants to make sure that what you're doing, what you're looking at, that your goals are right up on the table and that she knows what you're trying to accomplish and try to partner with you so that you and she can accomplish that together. Just that simple. Okay. And to give you an idea how good she doesn't do a lot of advertising. You're thinking, well, what is she doing sponsoring your show? Well, part of it, I think, is she believes in what we're trying to do, which is, that's like the most important part. And then the other part, because she does a lot of good business, but we want her to do a lot of little extra business, and maybe all that extra money can go to a lot of extra things like other ministries. That's like, that's cool. Blessed-Realty.com. Pamela Melchiano, and you just would say it with an Italian flair. It's Pamela Melchiano. Okay? All right. Is that good? That's a good one, huh? Poor Julie. She has to put up with this. Can you believe it? All right. All right. So we're trying to do this streaming thing out of out of my Chromebook, and it just crashed. Isn't that nice? It's kind of nice. Anyway, and then our next sponsor is our good friend John.
Big John. Big John.
John from the coolest name ever, the Blessed Roofing Company. I mean, come on. The Blessed Roofing Company. The Blessed Roofing Company. Listen to that. The Blessed Roofing Company. Not the lousy roofing company, the Blessed Roofing Company. That's what you want. You want a roof that's blessed. And how do you get in touch with him? You call 469-BLESSED. 469-BLESSED. Great phone number. 469-what? Blessed. 469-what? Blessed. Got hail. Hail hit the roof. Roof has got damage. Probably need a roof replacement. Don't want to come out of pocket. Call John. 469-BLESSED or the Blessed Roofing Company. .com. There you go. There's our two sponsors so far, with several more coming. Yay! That's kind of cool, huh? I think it's kind of cool. All right, so we had a complete crash on my computer. That's kind of cool. I like that. And so for those that are thinking, well, Dave, you seem technically challenged, let me tell you what just recently happened. I have readers. Do you know what readers are, for those of you out there that are older than 40? When you get into your mid-40s, you start noticing that visually, things start to become somewhat challenging. And what you notice is that you don't see the way that you used to see. And so you think something's really wrong and I have some kind of block in my brain and I better go to the hospital and get it checked out. Or you get some readers at Walmart. You can get three of them for like $9-$10, right? So what does it mean? Does it mean you're getting older? Yes, it means you're getting older. Do you have a huge donut in your head that's affecting your vision? You're getting older. Things do not look as clear as they did. And that's part of, wait, get ready. Getting older. And so I have a bunch of readers. I have 10 pair. You think, why would you need 10 pair of readers? One for my office, One for my living room, one in here in the studio, one in my bag, one in my car, or sorry, two in my car, another one in my in the library that I have. I mean, just everywhere. Why? Because I only spend $11 on readers. There's three of them for $8, $9, $10, $11 at Walmart, and they break all the time. My wife has the glasses, and she spent a little over $100, and she's had them for a while. They're trifocals. So it's not just bifocals, it's tris. There's like three different areas, and hers work fine. She never has a single problem. Mine, the screw falls off where the little thing is. So I have like 100 little arms from little reader glasses. I don't like throwing stuff out. So I thought I would just encourage you to say, if you're having a problem reading, it's okay. I, too, with you, understand the difficulty of reading and readers. But just because your eyesight is going a little bit doesn't mean your heart or your spirit is going, right? And when we're done with this, I have this suspicion that your eyes will be just fine. All right, now in the next segment, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to talk about forgiveness, the devil, and truth. And this is really, really, really crucial for people who are stuck in bitterness to hear what I'm going to share. The idea behind this is not to put any guilt on anybody, but to try and bring freedom from those who are allowing the past to keep them in bondage. Wouldn't that be nice to get a break from the past pulling on you and pulling you down? Wouldn't it be nice every once in a while just to be able to go, I'm okay, it's okay, everything's working out okay? Well, there is this grace, there is this gift, there is this, I just want to say, this honey that comes from heaven that's forgiveness. And it will change your life right now, today, if you'll let the word of God penetrate past your flesh. All you have to do is receive it, respond to it, accept it from the Lord. Grace for forgiveness. Just awesome. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station, right here in Texas. We can take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey! You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, probably the best way to do it is either to go to the website, davidspoon.com, or go to Facebook and type in David Spoon or David Spoon Media or anything along those lines. I want to get right to it because this portion is a challenge. Challenge for me, and I think probably a challenge for you and for a lot of people. I want to talk about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. And I'm going to come at this from a little bit of a different angle. At the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here, and if you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent." In this story, you see the disciples. Disciples are raw. They are not polished religious figures. On radio and on television, people that teach and preach are polished. If you don't think so, you're really kind of misled. They are well-steeped, well-developed. I myself am coming to you on the radio. I've done 2,500 hours of live radio.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
That gives you an idea how much time. Do you know how much time that is? Let me give you a couple of parameters so that you can know. Oh, good. I like that clock. Have you ever heard of that guy, Conan O'Brien? Have you ever heard that entertainer guy? He's done half as many hours as I've had. How about that? Do you get an idea? So the disciples are unpolished. They're just regular dudes. They're fishermen, for crying out loud. They're truck haulers. They're just the regular people. And so they're hungry and they start eating. And what happens is the religious people start accusing. Now, when I say the religious people, you just don't get all freaked out. The people that are expecting people to live exactly as they do, the way they do, think the way they think, act the way they think, these are the people that are getting mad. And they go after the disciples. These poor guys, what'd they do? They used to haul fish. Now they're following Jesus. They're not doing something the right way, and they're getting blasted for it. So you know what Jesus says? He says, "Man, if you only understood what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' listen to this." He says, "You would have not condemned the innocent." Now, let's understand something. Somebody who commits abortion because of recreational purposes, that's not innocent. Somebody that believes that homosexuality is what God intended, that's not innocent. Somebody believes in some of these ridiculous political issues like, oh, wait, the baby should be able to be 9 months and then just be able to abort it. That's murder, okay? That's not innocent. That's not what we're talking about. what we're talking about are people that don't follow the exact same religious line as other people, and then they're getting attacked for it. And Jesus says, why are you condemning innocent people? But you don't understand, Dave. They don't go to church and dress the same way I do. Tough. You don't understand, Dave. They don't meet 5 times a week like we do at our church. Too bad. But you don't understand, Dave. Every time they get together, they don't have communion every single time. So what? That's not the issue. If that's the issue, you're condemning innocent people. The issue is people are trying to follow Jesus Christ. Well, they have to do exactly everything that Jesus did right up there. Hey, you know what? The Bible doesn't talk a lot about Jesus sleeping except on a boat. So you're not allowed to do anything Jesus didn't do. So no more sleeping in your bed. Go get a boat. You can only go to sleep on a boat. I mean, come on. How legalistic do you want to get? This is a self-righteous attitude that the Pharisees had. Pointing out everything else everybody else wasn't doing. We're not talking about these sins in society that are dramatic and that are the world against the church kind of mentality. We're not talking about abortion. We're not talking about homosexuality. We're not talking about some of the ridiculousness of some of the financial systems and socialism and controls. We're not discussing about any of that. We're not talking about Republican. We're not talking about Democrat. We're not talking about Trump. We're not talking about Nancy Pelosi. We're talking about religious people who look at other religious people and say they don't do it as good as I do it. That's what we're talking about. And let me ask you a question. So as good as you do it perfectly like Jesus? Would you want Jesus to point out every time you flutter? How would you like it if every single time you made a mistake, God came down with an entire choir and a band and just started playing music and pointing stuff at you? Would that be good? No, would not be good. Because these people, they're trying, and a lot of people are trying. And no, they don't do it all that well. Some people do it really poorly. But you know what? Here's the most amazing thing. God is amazing, saves people, and then has the ability to turn them into Christ-like people, just like he did to us. They might start off in one place but get to another. But the way to get them there is not for us to beat them up. I love when people talk about, I'm going to use my Bible bullets. The Bible isn't supposed to be for Bible bullets, okay? It's just not the right spirit. There has to be a grace that we all extend, not just to the young, but to everybody. Now, why do we have a problem extending grace? I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going off script right now. I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't receive grace. We talk about it, but we don't receive it. In other words, we believe it. We know it's true. It's in the Bible. It's part of the principles of what God wants us to do, but we don't receive it for ourselves. And because we don't receive it for ourselves, we put that lack of grace on others. You know, there are people in your life that are, believe it or not, ordained of God that are going to hurt you. It's an amazing thing Jesus said when he was talking about forgiveness. Jesus didn't say, if somebody offends you. You know what he said? He said, when somebody offends you. Not if they offend you. Why? Because people are really good at that. And there needs to be a grace given, a mercy given, a kindness given, a forgiveness given. The problem for some of us is we're not receiving it from God, so we're not doing a very good job extending it. The Lord has mercy upon mercy upon mercy on us. He doesn't throw everything in our face. In fact, James 1:5 says, and if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without without finding fault. If God wanted to find fault with you and I, how hard do you think that would be? I go, that would be easy. I look at myself, I find, oh, I think 20 things a day, if not 30, 40, 50. That puts me on pace to be sinful about 565,000 times in my life. But I'm sure you're doing much better, probably at 290,000. You see? We got to be merciful. We got to be gracious. We got to be forgiving to people. We got to give people space and grace. Why? Because God gives it to us. And I don't think there's anything wrong with working with people and pointing it out and discipleship. Don't misunderstand. It's when our self-righteousness surpasses our ability to extend mercy and grace. You know what you're not? From a sanctification point of view, you know what I'm not? Perfect. I'm a mess. People, if you think you have sin in your life, get in line. I got 10 times more sin in my life than you do. I'm a mess, but I'm God's mess. And if I'm receiving his grace and I'm receiving his forgiveness, I need to extend that same grace and forgiveness to others. Instead of condemning innocent people, instead of going after them or being accused, it's ironic that Satan, his name means accuser. Doesn't that bug you? It's like, yeah, that's like the last thing we should be doing is accusing. Right? It's not that you can never say anything about somebody's sin. It's 90% of them is probably how you say it. Now, you shouldn't do that because that's not really right. Maybe that's not the right spirit. See what I'm saying? Let me call fire down from heaven, Jesus. No, you can't. You're not allowed. All right, take a short break. We're going to come back and follow up on this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, as opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is 4 words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win,
they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You ought to reach us, David Spoon Media, on Facebook. Our YouTube has, I'm just assuming that they just changed their standards, even though I did a whole YouTube series on racism, abortion, the Green Deal, so on and so forth. I'm just assuming they didn't bar me. Or they did. I don't know yet.
You're on the naughty list.
You know, I got to tell you what's so funny about that. Okay. I mean, people think this. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC group people there who are in a little bit of trouble of late. Well, if you're not familiar with them, I will just tell you right now that I actually contacted them and asked me to put them on their no-no list. So they wouldn't do that, though. And so after that, I contacted the Right Wing Watch Group. It's the Right Wing Watch Group. And that's a group that is, they just don't like people that have any kind of right leanings or anything along those lines. And I asked them, will you please put me on your list? And I've asked them like five times, and they won't do it. I'm trying. I don't know what else I can do. That's the best I can do. All right. We've been talking about the forgiveness element, and it's really important to understand that forgiveness, from when we're in this self-righteous kind of position, you might be thinking, well, that's not really forgiveness. Well, sure it is. It's being merciful. It's being forgiving to other people. And the problem that a lot of Christians have is they don't seem to be able to always extend that or to often extend that because they often have not received it. Okay? Because somebody goes to a church does not make somebody a Christian. Let's just stop all that rubbish. I mean, all that ridiculousness. Billy Sunday was the original person who said, just because you walk through your garage doesn't make you a car. Okay? Just because you go to church, it doesn't make you a Christian. Okay? Let's stop that. All right? All right. That's number one. Number two, when you have other people that are not where you're at in the maturity level, there needs to be a loving and a seasoning and a growing and a grace and so on and so forth. This is what the Pharisees were unable to extend to the disciples, and they were so nitpicky in the law, they couldn't even see themselves as the accusers. And the problem with that is it aligns them with Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren. It's amazing, isn't it? That Satan, one of his definitions is to accuse the brothers and sisters in faith. Isn't that amazing? Let me read you a passage. I'm going to show you this connection between this mercifulness we should have and Satan's own tactics. Listen to this. This is in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's clear that spiritual warfare takes place in the mind. And there's reasoning that takes place in your mind. And the devil tries to twist reasoning, which is what he did to Eve in the garden when he said, yea, hath God said. That's not what he really meant. Eat that fruit. And if you eat that fruit, you'll be just like God. And she was like, oh, boy, let's do it. Okay, that's a problem, right? Well, that's a problem for us, too, because sometimes Satan will blow something up in our minds and make it look or appear bigger. One of the old-time preachers used to say, it's like binoculars. If you look at them one way, everything looks bigger when you look at them. But if you turn them around the other way, it makes everything look smaller. Well, Satan has a great way of doing that against one another, to each other, to us. So with that in mind, before I go any further, let me share a story of fault. Of my fault, of tremendous fault. In Flagstaff, Arizona, I used to be a pastor. Flagstaff's a pretty dark place spiritually, if you're not aware of that. That is where Pluto was discovered. It was on Mount Lowell. And what's funny about that is, even though they've recently, you know, they're not that long ago, they reduced Pluto, so it's not a planet. But the word Pluto means God of the underworld. And that's what they named the planet. Like, what? It's kind of a dark, community, if you get to my drift. So anyway, we had a church there, downtown Flagstaff on Agassiz, 19th Street in Agassiz. Used to be a bar, and then we took it over, painted it, colored it, all this stuff to it. And we had a church there. People come in right off the street. I mean, the hardest people you can imagine came right off the street into our church. And I have no enthusiasm now. Then, oh man, I was loaded. I would walk in dripping, preach it. You know, I would walk in the sanctuary just ready. I had both hands ready to put on the guns. I was blazing. I modeled myself after the original James Robeson. I was ready, ready, ready.
Nip it in the bud.
Yeah. So, so funny. So one time I was preaching, and when I preach about the basics of the Lord, the basic tenets of faith, my voice goes, it doesn't go pitchy, it just goes loud. And I get louder and louder, like 11. You know, it's so loud, and I just hear, it's for the Lord, and you know, and that's how I preach. Okay? I'm preaching, and there's a lady in the audience. And every time I make a very important point about Jesus Christ, she shakes her head no. Guess what you don't do in Flagstaff, Arizona at the church? Shake your head no during one of my very important points. And she keeps shaking her head. She's bopping around or something, and I'm like, oh, that's it. And then I'm going to make even more points because this is even more irritating. And don't tell me you've never done stuff like this, by the way. And then make even more points and more points because it's more irritating. And by the time I'm done, you know, there's people at the altar. It's a big deal, right? Except I've only got one thing on my mind. How can that lady shake her head no? So after the service and after the ministry and everybody's hanging around, I go up to Victor, because this lady is with Victor, is one of the people that goes to our church. I go, Victor, how you doing? Says, Dave, great to see you. Shake hands. He goes, I'd like you to meet my aunt. And I'm just thinking, oh boy, I'm going to find out what's really going on. Then he says, she doesn't speak English. What? Yeah, she doesn't speak English. That head shaking? Yeah, she didn't understand anything you were saying. What? See, but the devil blew it up so good in my mind, and you think, oh, that never happens. Really? That never happens to you? When you go to church and you see somebody you know, and their face gets all wrinkly when they say hi to you, and you walk away and you think, what's their problem? Even though they might have just had gas, but you might think, they're so mean. Did you see how they looked at me? That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how the enemy tries to create this sense of division. And instead of overseeing, overlooking with care and concern and love and this compassion and whatever, we're like, oh, my side's right. I'm right. And did you see that? They didn't even say, you look fabulous in that dress. They didn't say, wow, Dave, you lost 20 pounds. They wouldn't say that anyway, but that's not the point. The point is we let that stuff prevail in our minds. Guess where that comes from? The accuser of the brethren. You think, oh, that never happens. Okay. If you want to be in full denial, just throw out the whole New Testament. Okay? Don't read it. And I am not saying this to you. I'm saying this to me. I do this. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Not looking for someone to devour, except if you're a Christian, because then he doesn't bother you. See, it doesn't say that. It says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's you and me. He's trying to get in and create problems. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Who did Paul write that to? The church at Ephesus, to Christians. Don't give the devil an opening. Because if you do, he'll use it against you. It'll twist it. It'll make things miserable. That's part of that whole past thing. You know why you hang on to the past? Because the things that are terrible in the past, the devil doesn't want you to forget. He wants you to remember it. He wants you to know in your mind how bad it was. Oh, I can't believe what that person did to me. Oh, I can't believe what that person said to me. Oh, I can't believe how they hurt me. I get it. I've gone through all of those things. But they're not even in the picture. And the devil's still using them to drag you backwards? Then whose fault is that? Yes, it's the devil's, but it's ours too. And I think it's really important to understand. There's somewhere, and there's this teaching or somewhere, well, the devil can't touch Christians. What? Wow. That's about one, I'd say about one-eighth of the New Testament. Toss it. Are you kidding? You are who he despises the most. Whatever he can, he's not going to win. He's not. Some people are this, well, Satan can win in the end. Da, 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 da. Did you hear what the demon said to Jesus? Are you going to cast us away before our time? They know their time is limited. They know they're not going to win. They know it's over. But they're going to try and make it as miserable as possible. We need to be aware that we need to have this mercifulness, this forgiveness, this graciousness. When we come back, I want to close on that because that's a good way to go into the weekend, full of grace and mercy. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need. The sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. To reach the show, I don't know. How do you reach the show? I don't even know. What do we do? Facebook, David Spoon Media. Website, davidspoon.com. YouTube, David Spoon Media. Apparently, they put it back on. I think they were mad at me. Oh, well. I have a lot of people that do that. They get real upset, and then it's like, oh, well, maybe it's not so bad. Before we finish off on what we've been discussing, I want to make sure you at least hear two or three very short little pieces of encouragement. Here it is. First one. Ready? When did Moses sleep with five people in a bed? When did Moses sleep with five people in a bed? When he slept with his forefathers. Come on. All right. What two things could Samson never eat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner? That's right. I have a million of them. That's good. And the last one, this is a classic, by the way. Last one is about the two cannibals. Now, it's a joke, people. It's a joke. So everybody take a deep breath. Did you hear about the two cannibals that were eating a clown? One turned to the other and said, does this taste funny to you? Ba-bum. I love stuff like that. I'm like a cross from the past and the future or something. Maybe I'm in the present. I don't know. All right, let's get back to people are like going, why do you do that? Yeah, that's what Don wants to know. Why do you do that? I don't know. It's in my makeup. I can't really do much about it. Here we go. We were talking about being merciful, being a person that extends forgiveness, not being mad at people, not letting the devil take advantage of our mindsets of making us, angry at other people, disappointed at other people. Wait, here's the big one. Ready? Oh, I didn't use this word yet. Bitter at other people. You know, if you were sinless, you could potentially have a case, but you're not. So what does the scripture say? How do we approach it? What do we do with one another? How do we engage with one another so it's not nutty? Well, this is how you do it. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. These are the kind of verses that you read and you go, bear with one another or bear with each other and forgive one another. Okay, so to bear with somebody, we have an expression that says grin and bear it, right? You just kind of put up with it. Well, how do you like that? Christianity guy goes, put up with it. What? Put up with it. But he holds the remote. Put up with it. It's like there's this attitude of self-righteousness, and it's like, okay, it's a remote. It's a TV. Neither one of you are getting up to change the channel. Relax. It's like, come on. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone else, if you hold your grievance, what will happen? You know it will just fester from bitterness into a cancerous bitterness, and it's only going to hurt you. But the Lord gives the qualifier. Why in the world would I let go of that grievance against that person? The scripture says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's your standard. How many ways, and by the way, this all harkens back, I love that word, harkens back to the Matthew 7 and Matthew 6 portion that we have been talking about, that you have to forgive one another from the heart, which means it's not a fake forgiveness. Oh, I forgive you, but I'll never forget. It's just like, oh my gosh, let's just understand that's not forgiveness, but I'll never forget. Does that mean you're always going to remember this, so you're always going to be mad? Is that kind of like what you're saying at the same time? The little oxymoron stuff going on there? You got to forgive one another from the heart. You got to let it go. If you have to pray just to say, God, I got to let this go. I got to just let it go. You got to forgive as the Lord forgave you. What a standard. What a standard to live by. I got to forgive like God forgave me. There's so much he forgave me that nobody knows. Wowzer. James 2:13. One of my favorite passages from my youth. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So I always think of God, and in God's boxing ring, on one corner is his holiness and judgment, and then in the other corner is his mercy. And they come out in the middle of the fight, and mercy knocks out judgment. It's like, bam! Why is that important? Because if God attached to you and I the judgment we deserved, we'd be dead. But instead, mercy triumphs. And that mercy that triumphs, we need to extend to others. And that process by which you extend that mercy is forgiveness. Now watch that. Just listen to that. Because of God's grace, and because of his extension of mercy, he forgives you and I. Well, we need to have mercy fighting against the judgment that's within us about other brothers and sisters, and we need to demonstrate that mercy through forgiveness. Because that forgiveness will free you and will free me. Now, let's look at the wrong idea. I grew up in a church that was Jim Jones-like in the first couple years. That was my introduction to Christianity as a Jew. You're thinking, why in the world would you stay in Christianity? What a bizarre turn of events. But that's because it was God who was teaching me. This is as bad as it is. I want you to be merciful. It's not that we didn't tell the truth, not that we didn't speak the truth, but there's a compassion that comes with being close to God. You know, I have to think of this. I have to think of Matthew 8. And the first person after Jesus gets through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 8, the first person that comes to Jesus is a leper who's not socially allowed to engage with people. And he comes up to Jesus and just says, if you
will, I could be healed. If you say so, I can be healed. And Jesus, he says yes. Healing. Even though this guy was diseased in his skin, and nobody knows what his background was. But the compassion and the mercy and the grace and the kindness that Jesus extended, that's what we're supposed to have. I know. We're in big political war, big spiritual war. I know. But you can still be like Jesus, right? I mean, I know everybody wants to be like Elijah, but you're supposed to be like your Savior. You're supposed to be able to touch the leper, which, by the way, is against the law. Yet Jesus touched the leper and healed him. Just to show compassion. So maybe the biggest issue and the biggest takeaway is we need to allow that compassion, or we need to, better said, receive that compassion that God has for us so that we can extend it to others and be like the Lord. Good, bad, or indifferent, right? Okay. Let's just close this whole week out by prayer. Just ask the Lord to help you retain what's good, not just for me, from everybody. So let's just, everything you've had input in the entire week, let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just ask that everything that is beneficial that people have heard, that would stay with them. That whatever it is that you deem correct, that you deem right, that you deem righteous, that would stay with all of us. And the things that are in the middle, that you would help us work through those, and the things that mean nothing, that they would fall by the wayside. But in your grace, in your mercy, in your love, in your compassion, in your forgiveness, help us to go forward on this planet and be representatives and ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us reflect the love that comes from his heart. It's not that we'll deny truth, but our spirit needs to be more aligned with you and less aligned with flesh. So just bless everybody in the audience, everybody in this listening audience, and everybody that we're able to touch. Let it last. Let it be an eternal work. By your grace and mercy, we pray. Amen. And in Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian Station. Taking a 73-hour break, then we'll be back. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Destroying everyone and everything
they find. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.